Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Psalms, the 7th chapter, in the 1st verse, David said, oh, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. I don't know, but I'm sure that you have. There's situations, there's been times in our life when nothing could do but the touch of God. There's been family situations that have risen. I know my wife and I have had family situations with our children and our grandchildren that nothing, that whatever we'd done was to no avail. But when we went before God and God began to work the situation, God began to move. And let me tell you, folks, God doesn't wait until you're down. And I'm reminded what God told Jeremiah when he was in that old dungeon, thrown down and sinking in the muck and in the mire of that dungeon that day. And here's a man that his own family turned their back on him and denied him. But I hear God speak to him while he's standing with his hands raised one day. God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm here to tell you that only God would speak to a man. Only God could speak to a man locked away in a dungeon, rats running around. He's standing in water almost up to his knees, history said. And here's a man that's almost given up on life. But somewhere in the far reaches of the glory of God, God speaks to him and said, Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. Oh, listen, saints of God, I believe that's all we have to do today. I believe when this man of God cried out, oh, Lord God, to thee do in thee do I put my trust. Save me from them that would persecute me and deliver me. You can't tell me God does not hear that kind of prayer. Would you shout amen with me? I believe God has heard the prayers of this pastors, and I believe God has heard the prayers of this church, that God, we want revival. And I'm here to tell you, we're not in any waiting mode. I'm here to tell you, God hadn't put you on hold tonight. God said, you just try to have revival and see if I won't be there. Amen. Only God. Only God. I'm telling you, there's been things tried in the name of God that didn't work. Amen. Have you ever tried things on your own and they failed? And you went back to the altar and you found out, brother, this is the work that only God can do. Can't do it in myself. I can't do it in my abilities. And when we turned it over to God, wasn't it marvelous how that thing worked out? Had a little family situation one time. We were pastoring a church and I was working. I was driving a truck locally. Some of our kids live over at Hobbs, and somewhere in the midst of some problems and things, our oldest daughter wouldn't come around. We couldn't see our grandson. I made up my mind one day, I'm going to see him if I have to whip that man she's living with. If I have to pull my belt over and spank her like a baby, I'm going to see that boy. I don't care what to do. I drove up in front of the house, brother. I kicked that thing out of gear and threw on the air brake. I come bailing out of the cab of that truck that day, and our daughter was standing in the door, and brother, she didn't flinch. She opened that door, and that little grandson coming and running out. I'm telling you, there's times you have to take things in your own hands, but you better pray about them first. Huh? I stood in the yard. that day and I visited with that grandbaby. I loved him, and I told him how much I loved him, and I showed him how much I loved him. And brother, I'd go by every time I went through Hobbs, I'd stop. When that old red truck would stop outside, the door would open, that little boy would come running out with his hands in the air. He's 25 years old now, just about, isn't he? With his hands in the air and say, Paw, I'm so glad you come to see me. I'm telling you, hell wasn't big enough to stop me. You know why? I had purpose that only God could work that situation, and God worked that situation. Yeah. You say, oh, I have something similar working in my life. Oh, let me tell you something. And I know the pastor is not going to tell you this, and I'm not going to give you any details about anything about his life that he don't want you to know. But brother, if you knew some of the family situations that your pastor's went in, that he's got on the phone and called me and said, Brother Sheffield, this is happening, that's happening, this is going on, that's going on. What am I going to do? I don't know what is going to happen in my life. And brother, all that we can say is only God can master these situations of our life today. The problem is we've turned from God to other situations. The church has become a referral service instead of a place of prayer. Huh? Let an unwed mother come to our church for help. We won't shame her. Somebody said, well, that's the way the Lord would have it. I'm here to tell you it's time for us to put away the shame and the disgrace and say, if you need help, I'm here for you. Amen. It's time for us to take that person out that has been out and down and say, God, only you can work in this life. Listen, folks, I have saw it work personally in people's life. When people said, there's no use, there's no good in that man at all, I saw the town drunk, if you please, in our city that I was raised in. A man that everybody said, Howard Floyd's not worth a dime. He ran an old wrecking yard out on the north side of town, and everybody said he's an alcoholic, he's no good. But he walked into the church one day and gave his heart to God. I'm telling you, only God can do these things. David said, Lord, just deliver me. Just deliver me. I'm here to tell you we're serving a God that still delivers people that will trust Him. Do you hear what I'm saying? The only way you're going to get deliverance is to know God is God and serve Him as God and nothing else. I want to declare to you tonight, He's not a God that just comes when you're in trouble. Have you ever had the peace and the joy of God in your life and you just had a good time in your life and the Lord just come along beside you? Ever felt Him just come along beside you, put His arm around you and say, I'm glad you're having a good day. Just want you to know I'm here if you need me. Praise God. Only God can master the situations of our life today. Only God can bring revival to this church. Only God can bring revival to the church where I have been elected pastor. Do you realize that? I don't care the formulas of men. And they can tell you if you'll put up the banners, you put up the placards, and if you'll take all the clocks out of the church, and if you'll turn your pews a certain way, and if you'll sing certain songs, and if you'll have certain kind of music, I'm here to tell you that's not God. God comes in the church that's paid the price for revival and got everything in order. Oh, you say, you mean we don't? Daniel knew and trusted a God that he knew was God. In the face of his greatest adversaries and his adversities, he prayed 3 times a day, every day. He opened his window toward Jerusalem. You know this. He knew they had circulated the petition. He knew they had signed the petition. He knew the king had stamped it with his insignia and that it was law. But still, 3 times a day, he opened his window toward Jerusalem and he called on the Lord God. Listen, here's a young man in Babylonian captivity, but he's still calling on God. He said, only God can master this situation. And he called on God. He went to the lion's den. He was second in command in Babylon only after he spent a night in the lion's den. Folks, it doesn't come easy. Huh? Pardon me for using this term, but someone I know. We've got so charismatic, God can't bless us anymore. Really? Did you know what? I have people that will come along and say, did you know over there at the charismatic church, this and that's happening? Did you know this and that's happening? You know what I tell them? Hey, that ain't nothing. I lived through that all of my life. Amen. They've got something new going over there. I said, no, they don't. They don't have anything new. What they have is that God's pouring out His Spirit like He used to, and God wants to do it in Assembly of God churches, but only God can do it today. Only God can save souls. Do you understand that? Only God can save souls. Only God can fill a believer with a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Only God can give a man a freedom to dance in the Spirit when the world's looking at him and saying, that's the most foolish thing that I ever done. Don't you remember what David did when his wife told him, said, David, you look so ignorant out there dancing before God. What do you think the people are going to think about the king? He said, you just wait till next time. I'll get more vile than I was this time. Amen. I believe that only God and God in His situations in our life is still God. Still God. Did you hear what I said? He's still God. And He always will be God. There'll always be revival. And hell can't do anything about it. I remember when we started praying for revival a month before the evangelist got there. You know why? We realized the evangelist didn't bring the revival. The Holy Ghost ushered in the revival. I've seen our home church, brother, when the evangelist come, he's just glad to be there. Amen. The Sunday morning that the revival started, the pastor shouted all over in front of the building, gave the altar call, and people were saved in the altar service Sunday morning. And that evangelist was asking the question before Sunday evening came, what am I doing here? My Lord, you're having revival. I don't need to be here. I'm telling you, that's only God can set a situation up in our life and He get glory out of it. Wow. Only God. I've had so many parents that have come to me in the past. Brother, my children are doing this, my children are doing that. And I don't know how to handle the situation. And I don't mind telling them, I don't either. Only God can do it. Only God in your life. Amen. You may have children. I don't know. Your children may be a lot different than the children we raised. I don't know. I told my wife not long ago, where'd we go wrong? What happened here? What happened to these kids? These kids is raised in Assembly of God parsonages. What's wrong with them, Lord? What's wrong with them? And the Lord said, only me. Only me. I'm the only one that can do anything about it. I'm the only one that can do it. You know, God's promised me. God's promised me my household. If I'd be faithful to Him, Satan hadn't promised me anything of the sorts. Can you shout with me tonight? God has promised you your household if you're faithful to Him today. But I'm here to tell you, the moment that we start backing out on God, the moment we start doing our thing, is the moment God says, okay, you can have it. Do it your way. Now, a lot of people are sitting around just waiting for God to intervene. People sitting down, tapping their feet, tapping on the back of the pew, you know, thumbing through the song book, saying, well, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? I can tell you, never. Never. That's not the way God does business in the churches today. He's never done business that way. He's the God that comes down in His glory in a place that's prepared Himself. Listen to me, folks. If you'll get in the Word of God, if you get in the Old Testament, I know it's ceremonies that they went through. We don't have to go through those ceremonies. I realize that. But if we would only know in preparing ourselves, God would say, it's only me. It's just through me. You just well to get ready for it. You can't have it any other way. Just me. Somebody said, well, isn't it sad you don't have but one choice? What other do you need? What other God has promised? What other God has promised? What God has promised and what God has come through with in your lifetime? No one. Buddha's fault. I had a thought this afternoon that I've got to share with you. Did you know a lot of Assembly of God people would never make it as a Muslim? Really? I mean, they couldn't qualify. Or you say, oh my goodness, anybody? No, you can't. Not anybody can qualify to be a Muslim. You say, oh, you have to be a certain breed. You have to do what they tell you to do. And when that man begins in that old Latin and singing in that stuff, brother, you don't sit there with just your head bowed. You don't sit there in a pious position, but you get on your knee and you put your forehead to the ground and you bow before that thing that's set up there. You pay homage to him, and they say, if you can't do that, you can't be a part of us. Dear Lord, I wish we could get so saved in the Assembly of God. Do you understand me? I wish we could get so saved in the Assembly of God that people would say, preacher, you can't ask anything too hard for me. I told you the other night about a man that pastored North Phoenix Baptist Church, 10,000 members. When he was called to that church, there were 35 members. No, not 3,500, not 350, but 35 people. He said, I was pastoring a church in my hometown is a county seat church. I had the attention of the entire city. I was well pleased. That church called him, and he said, I went there. And he said, I really didn't want that church anyway, but I went there. And he said, as I was visiting with the people, he said, after church that Sunday night, they said, we would like for you to be our pastor, 100%. 35 people said, we want you to be our pastor. And he said, well, I'll tell you, before I'll come and be your pastor, there's some things that you got to do. That disqualify him for Assembly of God pastor just like that. You don't tell us what you want. We tell you what we want. Huh? Well, maybe your church is not that way. I don't know. I'm not saying you are. I just know some that are. And you know what that church said in unison? Pastor, ask him. You can't ask anything too hard for us. For us to try, I promise you, we can do it. And he began to see some things that he wanted to do in the church, and they said, you name it, we'll do it. When you get here as our pastor, you just point it and we'll do it. And from 35 people to 10,000 people in membership, I'm telling you, it didn't happen overnight, but it happened. You know why? Only God. Only God. I said only God. Amen. Only 35 people could say, you just ask it and we'll do it by the grace of God. He went to that church, took a church that could barely support him. He retired from North Phoenix Baptist Church. I don't know what his salary was, but he'd already trained himself. He was the president of a bank in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm telling you, here's a man that climbed the ladder. Here's a man that God blessed in everything that he did. And he preached to those people like your pastor preaches to you. Only God can get the job done in your life. Amen. He said, I stepped in the sanctuary one Sunday morning, and I heard two of my deacons talking. He said, they didn't know I was around. So he said, I just took a few steps back around the corner and listened. And he said, one deacon told the other and said, you know, I've got a real nice home in the mountains. This man was a CPA, if I'm not mistaken. And he said, if I would use that on the weekends, I could take it at off of the income tax. I could write off a big thing. But he said, you know, my brother, I'm afraid to miss a weekend here. I'm afraid something will happen in this church and I'll miss the glory of God falling here. He said, I'm afraid our pastor will preach something that I don't want to hear. And I thought, Lord God, help us. That's the earmark of people saying only God can do it. Only God can get the job done today. David said, oh Lord, deliver me. And I believe God delivered him. Yes. Keep me from my enemies. Oh, you must know him as God. The only one that can cause what we do for him to be a blessing to other people. I don't know about you, but I pray every day, Lord, make this church that you've led me to pastor, be to be a blessing in this community. Now, you understand me. It may never be filled with people. I don't know what God's plan is for Gunter Assembly of God. I don't know what it is. But I do know that God's moving, and I do know that God's moving. I do know the Lord today is saying, only me, only me. And as you trust in me, I will do it for you. I will do it for your family. I will save your children today. Our oldest daughter is saved. Our son is saved. Our youngest daughter, she just well to run to the altar tonight. Because God's got her number. She's going to be saved by the grace of God. I'm totally convinced why only God can do it today. I can almost hear some feedback from someone saying, but you've never been where I've been. And you know what I say to that? I may not have been, and I hope I never am. But if I ever get there, only God's going to deliver me. Do you realize Joseph spent about 12 years of his life in prison for something he didn't do? He could have been mad at God. Did you know there's people in Assembly of God churches that are mad at God? Did you know there's Assembly of God pastors that are mad at God because everything hasn't worked for them, everything hasn't gone their way, and God is saying, oh, he still loves them. He's saying, I can do it for you. I can do it for you if you just trust me. My wife's sister and her husband attend Assembly of God Church in Austin, Texas. Had a wonderful young man for a pastor. The church was growing. He came to the board one day and he said, I think you ought to lease me a new town car. And they said, okay, brother, you give us a few months and we'll lease you a new town car. But he said, I don't want to wait a few months. Doesn't that sound like a brat? He said, but I don't want to wait a few months. I want a new town car. I want you to lease me one tomorrow. And the board said, sir, we don't have the money right now. But we'll get it together. Give us 90 days to get it together and we'll lease your new town. Brother, I could have waited a year if they'd have leased me a new town car. I mean that. Only God can take care of these situations. And he said, if you don't lease me one now, I'm leaving. And they said, bye. We can't do it. It's impossible. I know we can say with God all things are possible, but I'm here to tell you today that God will not intervene in some situations in our life. What are you asking God for? If it's a new town car and God says, wait a little while and I'll get you one, be patient and wait, God will get you one. If you want a larger house and God says there's one coming open I can get for you, don't worry about it, let it happen. One man came to me not long ago and said, Brother Sheffield, you need a car. Only thing you got is a pickup. I know where there's a good buy. I said, I was just praying this morning and God told me that he is going to provide it, so I'm just going to wait and let him do it if it's all right with you. Knowing God as God does in no way put us in a place of preference to the Lord. Do you understand me what I'm saying, church? God is not going to prefer this church over the church of God. God is not going to prefer this church over the Baptist church. But what's marvelous about it, he's not going to prefer them over us. They only God can work these situations, see? Only God can make this church grow. I know. I've been at churches and I've fought things. I've fought the devil and I've burned out a little while and it didn't happen the way that I wanted it to happen. I left that church. I moved out of God's will and I paid the consequences. Only God. Only God can do it. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and the 5th verse, and he said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." If you don't do that, you have no business asking God for anything. Huh? If you don't love the Lord with all your abilities, all your strength, all your power, all your might, if you haven't given God 100%, we have no right approaching the throne of God and asking Him for anything. But when we've lived up to that, God in heaven is going to come on the scene and say, "I am here. What do you need?" Daniel prayed, and after 21 days, the angel came and said, "I'm here with the answer for you, Daniel." Oh, it's a glorious thing when the Lord moves in a church and in a service and says, "I'm here. What do you want me to do? I'll do it in your life. I'll do it in your church." And Daniel stood there that day, and the angel told him, said, "God heard you the first time you prayed, but the prince of the air is hindered. But I want you to know God dispatched me. And I fought through, and I'm here with your answer." Listen, folks, don't give up. We're on the very brink of a miracle of revival in God today. The Lord has dispatched the answer for you and I, and only God can do it. Can you shout amen with me? Only God can do it today. Oh. You say, "Brother Shelfield, where do we go from here?" I can tell you exactly where you go from here. You go here. You go here. And you don't do it 5 minutes a day. You do it until you've touched God and your soul's on fire and your spirit's burning within you. And then we can say, "Only God, only God, only God." Amen. Only God can do it. Only God can do it. You want it? You want it? You can have it from God. Let me say something else. I know it's time for me to call. I told you the majority of Assembly of God people wouldn't make good. Well, I know for a fact majority of us wouldn't make good Catholics. You say, "You're just putting us down." No, no. I want to point you to something today. I'm trying to make you understand that only God, only God. I work with some Catholic men. And the priest told those men to be at the church at 4 o'clock one morning. And you start cooking. And after you get it going and it goes, it's time for you to go to work, you can go on to work. And then the women or whoever can come in after you go to work and finish cooking. See, they were preparing for a big feast, a big thing in the church. And he told those men, four of those men that I worked with, said, "You get to church at 4 a.m. in the morning." But let me tell you something. The priest didn't have to show up to see if they were there. Those men got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, went to the church there in the city that we were pastoring in, got everything ready, started the fire, and got the things to cooking. And they come to work. Work that day, and they were whistling, they were happy in themselves, and they got to talking about what happened. I said, "You mean you've already been at the church?" They said, "Man, we was there at 4 o'clock this morning." How many of you would come for prayer meeting 4 o'clock in the morning? Don't raise your hand. Really? Some of us wouldn't even make good Catholics. Born with a purpose in her life, and that's to serve God, and God say, "Only God can do it. Only God can do it." But understand me, folks, He never picks us out of the middle of our doing whatever we're doing and sets us somewhere else to do a work for Him. You got to be willing to go. Got to be willing to go. Are we willing to realize this evening that only God, The Lord spoke to me this morning as I was studying, I was reading. That thought came to me so boldly, Brother Wampler, only God, only me. I'm the only answer to the church. I don't know whether you've heard about it or not. I'm sure you have. The president's been acquitted. This nation is an embarrassment to the world. You believe me, all over this world, it's been announced over world television in other countries. America has acquitted a president that's a liar, that is a known adulteress. Do you think those people have respect anymore? No, sir. If you want to know something else, we're at the bottom of the totem pole with God spiritually. I'm not saying we're backslid. No, no, no. Listen to me, church. I believe God has laid the gauntlet at the foot of the church and said whatever the outcome is, it's left up to you to pray about it. One man on the news said the senators have gone home to see what the verdict's going to be for them. You know what it would be for me? You self-conscious rat, don't think you'll ever go back to Washington, D.C. on my vote. Listen, it's time the church rose up and realized who we are. God said adultery is a sin, and we're permitting sin in the capital of this United States of America. I'm telling you, I've called him this ever since he's been in there, and he's still that. He's nothing but Slick Willie. He's got himself in trouble, and he's slipped out of it every time. And now, he's sitting back and laughing. I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. I've told no one. I haven't even told my wife. You're going to see a man that's sitting in the White House that's not only defied the people that elected him, and not only defied the people that he's worked with, the people that work in his office and with him, but he's defied God. And God has said, here's a man that'll be diseased and he'll die. He'll die. You say you're pronouncing judgment on him? No, God's already done it. Only God can do that. See, only God. Only God. I can't pass judgment on him today. I can just tell you what God said, and only God has the right to speak those words, and only God today can ensure the words that he's given, and they will come to pass. Do you understand what I'm saying? It will happen just like God said. Bow your head with me. Father, help us to see. Father, we've had 6 nights of revival in this church. We've enjoyed your presence and your glory every night. But Father, I feel there's something still needed to take place in our lives tonight as Christians. And Lord, I'm going to ask you to do it in this altar service that we're about to enter. Oh, Rakesha Poraki Mantarato, Urishakaya Mantorinda la Kahasa Torotosok. Father, call your people now to an altar of prayer, to an altar of repentance. Call us, O God. Lest we fail, and lest we forget only God. Only God. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar in just a few seconds. But I want you to know, before we come, God brought you to this service this evening for a reason. God brought you here tonight that you would understand that only He is God and there's none like Him. And the job, the home, and the family that you have is a gift of God in your life. I want us to come to the altar this evening, and as little as possible, can we ask Him for things, but can we give Him praise for what He's given us tonight? Would you do that? Could we come and do this in the name of the Lord tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father, Father, Father of heaven this evening, Lord. I bow in Your presence, Lord, and I give You thanks. I give You thanks, Lamb.